This morning we want to ask the challenging and difficult question, what are you addicted to? I suppose that's not proper grammar. We really ought to ask, to what are you addicted? But I've never been a stickler for some of those English grammar rules. I'm not addicted to being grammatically correct. What addiction do you have? Now, there are a lot of answers that are possible to that. Some would say, of course, I don't have any addictions. Well, in that case, your addiction is either denial or perhaps lying. But sometimes we don't want to admit that we have an addiction, and perhaps we don't want to say, well, I don't want to tell you what I'm addicted to. And sometimes when we hear the word addict, we think of the drunk who's stumbling around and can't stay sober for a day. Or we think about the drug abuser who's constantly high on some drug or looking for a drug or robbing someone to get money to buy their drug. Those are not the only addictions that there are. Those certainly are some addictions. But we want to understand today that there are a lot of things that we can be addicted to. Some are wicked things. Some things in and of themselves are neither good nor bad, but when we become addicted to them, they become a bad thing. And then some, obviously, are some good things that we should be addicted to. There is only one time in the Bible that the word addicted is used, in the King James Version at least. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15, and in this case, it's used of something that's good. He says there, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You see, that's a good thing to be addicted to. So, when I said, do you have an addiction, if you want to say, well, no, then I would say, you should. You need to have some addictions in your life, but you need to make sure that you're addicted to the good things, to the right things, and not addicted to the wrong things. So we're going to look this morning at some things that people are addicted to. Now, we are by no means going to cover everything. People can be addicted to anything. And there are people out there that probably somewhere that are addicted to just about everything you can imagine and some things you can't imagine. Addictions are to some degree a human condition. That people are going to find something to consume their life's time, energy, and money on. Now you can choose to do good or evil with that. I think part of that comes from the fact that, as the philosopher once said, God created human beings with a God-shaped hole in their heart. And only God can fill that void. Unfortunately, people often try to fill that void with all sorts of other things and other activities. And so some people try to use drugs or alcohol or some other chemical of some sort to plug that hole, to fill it up, and it doesn't fit. Some people may try to use shopping to fill that void, or some people may try to use a gain of wealth and may be addicted to money, or some people may use something like gambling, or some people may use jumping out of an airplane and the adrenaline rush of riding a roller coaster. There are all sorts of things that people will use to try to fulfill their lives and try to fill that hole in their heart. But the fact of the matter is, nothing but God can truly fill that void in our heart and in our soul. And when we try other things and become addicted to those other things, we get ourselves into all sorts of trouble. We're going to look at some of the things that are specifically mentioned in the Scriptures that people have given themselves to. The phrase addicted is only used in that one verse, but there are several passages in the Bible that talk of someone who is given to something. And that's really what an addiction is. An addiction is when you have given yourself over to something to the degree that you can't stop. You've lost control. It's in control of you now instead of you being in control of it. And there are a lot of things that are natural things in life, that are good things in life, that are things we need in life, but that can become addictions and that someone can be given over to. And we'll start with one of the one that's mentioned in Proverbs 23, verses 1 through 3, and that is that some are addicted to their appetites. Now, that's not just the physical appetite for food. That could be any number of appetites that we may have. Obviously, food comes to mind when we say appetite, because we think about that, and because it's getting late enough in the morning, it's been long enough since breakfast that some people's tummies are starting to rumble, or maybe they got up late and didn't have time for breakfast, and they're already thinking about lunch. So we say appetite, and people think food. And certainly food is one thing that people can become addicted to. Now, the problem with that is, food, obviously, like air and water, is something that our bodies do need. We can't live without it. God created us to need it. And so we have to have it. The problem comes when we allow the food and our desire for the food to control us rather than for us to control the food that we consume and that we take in. And we live in a society where gluttony, which is discussed as a problem, is becoming a real problem in our society. People gorge themselves on things, eating much more than they need to survive. There's the old saying, you eat to live. You don't live to eat. But there are many in our society who live to eat. Or it may be another appetite. It may be an appetite for excitement. It may be an appetite for gambling. It may be an appetite for sexual things, that people get addicted to these appetites of the physical body. Proverbs 23, verses 1 through 3, Solomon warns about the food appetite. He says, when you sit to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Pick on Ron. He came in last night, and I gave him a piece of beef jerky. I said, now, it's expensive stuff, that beef jerky. You know, that stuff is. It's pretty expensive. It's like a dollar an ounce for this stuff. I gave him a little piece of beef jerky, and he said, well, you got to be careful giving a guy like me something expensive, because then I'll want it, and I can't afford it. And that's really what the writer of Proverbs is saying right here. He said, you go eat with somebody that's rich, and they get, oh, they got this fancy, expensive food, and you better be careful, because you'll eat their fancy dainties, he calls them. You'll eat their fancy, expensive food, and you'll develop a taste for it, and you'll go broke trying to eat it. You know, there are some foods that you just can't afford to eat every day. You'll go broke trying to eat that every day. And so he warns, if you are given to appetite, that's a problem. It can cause you to go bankrupt, because you'll spend your whole livelihood. And now, again, that appetite may be a pair of shoes. You know, some women have 5,000 pairs of shoes in their closet. And, you know, they may be given to shopping. Or a man may be given to hunting or to sports. And, you know, you can spend an awful lot of money. Some of these computer nerd type people, they're given to the newest and latest technology, and they'll go out and buy whatever new technological gadget comes out in it, and you can go broke, and you can destroy your life. They talk about those women who are married to a man who watches football all through the winter. And I guess there are some men on the other side of that are married to a woman who watches football all through the football season, and they'll call her a football widow, don't they? Because he's so addicted to that TV for that 3 months or 4 months there from October to February, you know, and he's just glued to that TV 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, rewatching the same games and all these things, watching the reports talk about, he's got an appetite for that, and he ignores his family sometimes. And it's not just the sports, obviously, it could be anything. Anything that someone becomes addicted to. It's an appetite that they have, and they give themselves over to it, and they neglect their family, and they ruin their finances, and all sorts of other things go along. Addictions are destructive habits. They are destructive habits. Second thing we want to notice is that some are addicted to change. You ever met somebody who... Now, I'm pretty addicted to changing my clothes, putting on clean clothes after I bathe, that kind of thing. That's a good addiction. But some people are just addicted to changing constantly. Every day, it's got to be something new, got to be something different. Proverbs 24 and verses 21 and 22, he says there, "My son, fear the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly. And who knows the ruin of them both?" If someone is given to change, they are unsteady, they are unstable, they can't stick with it. And we have a society like that. What's the new thing? What's the latest thing? Got to get rid of this because it's 2 weeks old. I got to get the next new one. Restaurant can't keep the same menu for more than 2 months. They got to print out a new menu and have new items on their menu because people, well, that's all, I've had that already, I want something new. Do you remember Paul ran into a group of people, the Epicureans? All they wanted to do every day was discuss what was new. Something new, something different. That's all they spent their whole time just talking about the new things. They wanted to change. They wanted something different. And we can be given to change. We can become addicted to changing constantly, and we become unstable. We become undependable because we want to change all the time. You see that in the religious world? Oh, the change movement. We want to change the church. It's, you know, it was good enough for 2,000 years, but all of a sudden we got to change everything. It's not good enough anymore. Well, see, those that are given to change, Solomon says, their calamity shall rise suddenly. Those people especially who are trying to change the church and they're trying to change God's rules and God's way of doing things, they're going to pay. God's going to call them to account for what they've done. Then there are some who are addicted to fornication. Jude chapter 1 and verse 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." You know, it's, today in our society, fornication, sexual immorality, nobody thinks that even matters anymore. You ask people, "Oh, well, you know, that doesn't mean anything. That's just old-fashioned." God warns about people who have given themselves over to fornication. And He says Sodom and Gomorrah was the example. Those cities were burned with fire from heaven because of the evil that they had perpetrated. And our society today says, "Well, whatever two adults choose to do..." No. It's not okay whatever two adults choose to do. God created us and He set the rules for us. And we can't set that aside. And nobody in our society has the right to set that aside. Even though it's going on continually. Saw recently Hawaii is set to be the 15th state to endorse homosexual marriage. Well, they can pass any law they want to pass, but it doesn't change what God said about it. And there are people who have given themselves over to fornication and to strange flesh and to do all of these things that the same people of Sodom and Gomorrah did. May have to preach a sermon on that. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah's sins, they're some of the same sins that we have in America today. And those cities were destroyed by God for their sin. And yet we're following the same pathway that they followed. Some are addicted to wickedness. Now, that's a pretty broad term, isn't it? But Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8 says, "There is no man that has power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither has he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. You know, some people think that wickedness, they can be wicked and they can protect themselves, save themselves, get themselves, they, you know, I'll lie, I'll cheat, I'll steal, and I will make something as a result of that. But no, Ecclesiastes says, wickedness shall not deliver those that are given over to it. Wickedness also won't deliver those that are given to death either. He talks about war. He talks about being able to have power in the day of death. And some people think by their wickedness that they can save themselves from dying. That they can kill everybody else and they won't die. It doesn't work that way. Wickedness is a dangerous thing to be given over to. But some are addicted to pleasure. Isaiah chapter 47, verses 7 through 9. Thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou did not lay these things to thy heart, neither did remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, you that are given to pleasures, that dwell carelessly, that say in thy heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in your perfection, and for the multitude of your sorceries, and for the great abundance of your enchantments. But notice what he says. He's saying this to the person who is given to pleasures. Boy, isn't that something? Get the most out of life. Go for the gusto. You only live once. Make the most of it. Enjoy it while you can. Isn't that the society we live in? They're given to pleasure. If it feels good, do it. Enjoy it. That's our society. No self-denial, no self-control. Just given over to whatever pleases them. Any pleasure. Physical pleasure, emotional pleasure, mental pleasure, oh, the love flattery. All of these pleasures of life. But you see, the problem is, the pleasures of sin are temporary. Moses knew that. He chose to suffer reproach with the children of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He denied that addiction. Now Moses had some problems in his life, but he at least understood that the addictiveness of pleasure, the enjoyment, the fun, the thrill, and yet our society is covered up with it just as those in Isaiah's day were. And he warns them, watch out, your destruction is coming, your doom is on its way. But then there are some who are addicted to covetousness. And covetousness itself is an addiction to riches. But there are some who are addicted to an addiction to riches. And that's quite an addiction. But here they are, Jeremiah 6, verses 11 through 15. He says, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Wow. He's angry. He's going to destroy them. Why? He says, verse 13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They lied. They said everything's okay. They said God's happy with you when God's angry. Liars, in addition to their covetousness. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. These people got to the point they couldn't even blush. Sound familiar? We've gotten to the point in our society where people don't blush at sin. They brazenly brag about it and then have the nerve to condemn the one who says it's wrong. Instead of being ashamed of their sin and their addictions, they're proud of it. But these folks were addicted to covetousness. They wanted more, and nothing could ever satisfy, and nothing was ever enough. More, 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 give me more. And doesn't that sound like our society? From the least to the greatest. Remember the Wall Street crowd, the Operation Wall Street? Whining and complaining. We don't have enough. Walking around with their $500 iPhones and their $150 tennis shoes and all these things, walking around talking about, we don't have enough, you need to take it from the rich folks and give it to us. They forget. If you live in America, you are the rich folks. Everybody in America, even the people in poverty on welfare in America, are richer than 70% of the world's population. But covetousness, just wanting more and more. When will it ever be enough? How much is enough? I remember the story of the man. He ran one of the little computer companies. He was getting, you know, he said, well, when I become a millionaire. He became a millionaire. He said, well, you know, honestly, I guess, you know, really, that a million's not much anymore. When I become a billionaire. He became a billionaire. And then they came to him again and said, well, you are a billionaire now, what? He said, well, you know, it's not enough. He said, really, when I have more than... And he pointed out somebody else that had more than him. He said, when I have more than him, then I'll be happy. And so he got more, I think it was maybe Donald Trump that he mentioned. He got more than Donald Trump. He's richer than Donald Trump. And they said, well, how about now? And he said, well, you know, to be honest, I want to have the most. I want to be the richest. That's covetousness. He was never happy. He wanted to be number one. Wanted to be richer than everybody else in the world. And you know what? If he ever makes it there, I don't know how far he is from that level now, but if he ever does make it there, it still won't be enough. He still won't be content. He still won't be happy. It's never enough when you're covetous. You can't get enough to make you happy. But then there are some who are addicted to wine. We mentioned alcohol earlier. 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 3. Specifically here, Paul is talking about the elders, the bishops of the church. But the rule is good for any Christian. He warns that someone who's going to be in that leadership position in the church needs to be the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, that's not the word we're looking for though, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine. No striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Not given to wine. There are people, how many, who started out thinking, well, I'll just take a little drink. I'll just drink a little with friends. And before long, they were given to wine. It's a slippery road. Once the taste for that is developed, it becomes addictive. And whereas some of these things are more of a mental or emotional type addiction, alcohol is a physical addiction. The body is literally, physically dependent on that drug, that alcohol. And taking it away from someone who is addicted will cause them to go through physical pain and suffering as their body goes through the withdrawal symptoms. And there certainly are other things that are like that. We mentioned wine here, but and it's mentioned in the Bible. The Bible doesn't talk about crack or methamphetamines or any of those things. But they had the same types of problems with alcohol, and they even had drugs. Opium was around even back then in China and in the Orient, those places. So they had that problem with those drugs of that kind. And of course, an addiction like this, you know, you could throw sugar in there. Sugar can be an addictive thing. And you just got to have your pick. You can throw caffeine in there, tobacco product. You know, there's so many things like the wine that can become an addiction that our body, we just can't live without it. Got to have it. And we've got to beware of the dangers of that addiction. And then we want to notice that some are addicted to idolatry. Acts chapter 17 and verse 16 says, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Now we might say, well, you know, in America we don't really have a lot of idols. And as far as statues of gods go, that's probably true. We don't have a whole lot. There are some Buddhists and some Hindus who live in America and have their little idols. And some would say that the Catholic Church has their idols with some of their statues of Mary or some of their saints that they made statues of or things. But the fact of the matter is, if we only think about a carved statue that people say represents some god, we've missed the boat. Idolatry is anything over God's place in your life. We need to be aware of that. We need to constantly be looking for things in our life that are encroaching on God's space in our lives. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to become addicted to the Lord by being obedient to Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, after believing in Him, and then being buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you are a Christian, but perhaps you've fallen away, perhaps you haven't been living faithful to Him, you've allowed other things, maybe selfish desires, to take His place in your life, you may need to come back to Him this morning. If you need to respond in that way, you can come asking for prayer, repenting of your sins, confessing them to God, and He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and welcome you back to the fold. If you're here and you have a need to respond to God's invitation in any way, please do so as we stand and as we sing.